Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby. Hard-hitting talk radio always at your fingertips. We are live 6 days a week, 2 hours a day, and there ain't no other talk show. My mom said not to say ain't. There's not another talk show like it on the planet, ladies and gentlemen. We take on big-time issues, God, family, and country at the center of the discussion. We got to promote God, family, and country. We got to protect life, liberty, and property. We got to back the morality in the people, and we got to support God's laws. And we got to say, hey, there's a lot of problems in the Republic. There's no doubt about it, but the future's never looked brighter. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Jesus Christ will come. And when he does, it'll be a glorious day, ladies and gentlemen. Never lose sight of that reality check. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. Terry Colafrancesco was with us last hour. We talked about QAnon. We talked about the spiritual warfare going on. We talked about Donald Trump's strategy. I tweeted out and begged Donald not to sign this omnibus trillion-dollar spending bill that's over 1,100 pages that no one's read. Don't do it. Just declare a national emergency. Congress is off their rocker. Well, how on earth can you sign something you've never read? The devil's in the details. You're taught that when you're a little kid. Before you even become an adult, don't sign something you ain't read. And Donald just needs to say, hey, it's a national security. When you got a crisis, when you got these bureaucrats that want me to sign a bill as the leader of the free world that I've never read and that we don't have time to even break down and know, how do we know there's not terrorist lines that'll betray America in there? I mean, how do we? Donald needs to just simply double down, declare an emergency and say, hey, this has got to stop. We're not doing that. We're keeping the government open. And you're going to come to the table with a single issue bill. And you're going to fund the proper role of limited constitutional government. And if you don't, I'm going to keep every government agency closed. And under this national emergency, I'm going to fund the legitimate constitutional portions of government. We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds. But first, I got breaking news. 5:09 a.m. Mountain Time. 3.7 and 3.2 magnitude earthquakes hit Utah. You say, where did it happen? Well, I'll be exact for you. 2 miles from a place called Bluffdale, Utah. And it happened at 5:09 a.m. Did you feel it? A lot of people are saying it woke them up. It did not wake me up. I did not even feel it. That just shows how attuned I am, huh? Welcome, Kurt. Did you feel the earthquake, sir?
No, Sam.
Kurt slept right through it. He was sawing logs. The movie was on. The earthquake was going.
We're both insensitive, I guess you'd say.
Yes, we are.
You know, but...
No, right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I believe everybody that says it, you know, say that it woke him up either. I'm just not sure I believe it. Sheriff, what do you think? Two earthquakes in Utah, buddy. 5:09 this morning, sir.
Well, I better call my daughter and see if she... felt it, but she hasn't notified me, so I'm sure she would have if she had felt it. She lives there very near you.
So yeah, and 2 miles from Bluffdale is probably what? How far from me, Kurt? 18 miles, maybe? 17, you know?
Yeah, somewhere in that range.
I'm guessing maybe a little less.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think I would have felt it, but, you know, I'm in my bed sleeping and stuff, and I didn't notice a thing, so.
They say these quakes began about 5.5 miles deep. I just wonder how they figure that out, you know what I mean?
Well, Kurt, you need to study, you know, some of these technologies. You got to get degrees in this stuff to understand how it works, you know. It's kind of like the guy that doesn't understand accounting going, I wonder how they figure out all that math. Yeah, they got techniques that figure all that out, buddy. Don't you dare question the reliability of such technology, my friend. It's kind of like carbon dating. Don't you dare say the millions, not billions, or the Earth is not billions of years old. How dare you? Who do you think you are? You're going against man's knowledge, my friend.
Or the science of evolution. Don't forget that one.
Oh, good point. See what I'm talking about, Kurt? I mean, how dare you go against that? I mean, you look like a monkey. No wonder we know you came from one. See what I mean?
You are talking to somebody who's been through about 5 or 6 of them.
Earthquakes?
Yes.
Or evolutions?
No.
All right. Well, all I'm telling you is, hey, I was in the 1989 California earthquake that was massive in San Francisco, and I literally spent a couple of weeks cleaning up with the Red Cross after that earthquake. I was in the middle of all that.
Wow.
And I've been in the middle of a bunch of earthquakes. I grew up in California, so when I was a little kid, I remember earthquakes, and some of them, you know, I've been awake in the middle of and stuff like that, too. So there you go. How about your experiences with earthquakes? You've been in a bunch of them?
Yeah, my mission. There were several.
Down there in where? El Salvador?
Guatemala and El Salvador. Yeah, there's a several active volcanoes there. Antigua being one of them, and in the area of Antigua in Guatemala. And also, I think it was the first or second time I ever took my children to Disneyland. There was one in Southern California, and I thought it would wake the kids because the hotel was really moving. It was during the night. The kids didn't wake up, and I said, "Hey, you guys missed the best ride of the whole trip. It was last night while you were sleeping." And it was up in the, I think, the 5-point-something scale. So, but we had fun anyway.
And earthquakes are very unsettling experiences.
They really make you feel helpless.
No question. No doubt about it. However, to those of us who believe in God, though, I feel a whole lot, well, I have trust in the Almighty, and I know that in the end it'll be all right, even though it is very unsettling. If you don't have God as your light and your truth, if you will, or your stabilizer, then, you know, it can be to where it just runs you off the rails in panic, and you just lose trust, and you're just overtaken by fear. And I saw that in the earthquake in Oakland, California, San Francisco in 1989. People just walked around dazed. I mean, just absolutely, they had no hope. They were just rattled to the core, and you could see it in the behavior of people. I mean, they became almost schizophrenic and things like that. And the second somebody who believed in God was around, I kid you not, there became a peaceful feeling. There became a stabilizing influence. There became hope, and people started to help one another, and people started to gain a little bit of trust as people helped one another. We worked on stopping the looting and the crimes. We worked on helping people and getting people water first. Because you know what? You got to have water. I'm just telling you that it was an experience of a lifetime, sir. And did you see that in the eyes of the people when you were out amongst the earthquakes?
Yes, and none of them were, though, devastating that I was in. There was one right after I got home that was a huge, horrible one in Guatemala. But I missed that one. But even when they do happen and they don't cause a lot of damage, people are still very unsettled, you know, start sleeping outside and stuff like that. But I've never been in a real serious one.
All right. We all know about the 1906. What was that, a big fire? I think they had a big earthquake back then, too, and those kind of things. We had the 1989 earthquake that I was personally in that was pretty big. We had the Mexico City earthquake. I can't remember when that one was, but that was massive and did tons of damage, too. So, you know, and I think these are going to happen more and more and more frequently, is my humble opinion. As we turn our back on God for the most part as a country, I'm telling you, we're going to reap the whirlwind, to use a phrase, a biblical term kind of a thing, if you will.
And I think it's a lot worse than that, and I believe that the evil that we have started to embrace in our country, and we've talked about this numerous times, the murder of innocent children, all in the name of making it a constitutional choice and a freedom issue, I find that so alarming, and I will tell you, that does scare me. And I believe that we are under irreversible condemnation.
And when you say that it scares you, let's be clear. It scares you because you know what God can do as he punishes a immoral people that turn their back on him. But you're not fearful for your life or your choices or for the eventual outcome that God will save his people. You're not fearful of those things, but you are fearful of the turmoil that a wicked people have to go through. Am I articulating this right?
Yes, absolutely. And, I certainly do have fear about the things that I think are coming our way. But I don't fear the judgments of the Lord. I invite that. What we have to go through to repent of what we've done to this glorious country that we were entrusted with, that we're supposed to be the stewards of, and that we have taken the greatest country on the face of the planet and turned it into a cesspool of iniquity in so many different aspects. Washington, D.C., I still believe is one of the most evil places on the face of the planet.
You want to respond to that, Kurt?
You know, I just looking through some of the comments. There was about 50 comments on the story that I read about it. The headline, two small earthquakes shake Bluffdale area. A couple of comments. One guy, they call him that 85 guy. He said, I'm off I-15 point of the mountain Bluffdale, and that was scary. I don't remember ever going through that in my 34 years. My wife has been through a lot of them in California, and she woke up terrified. Took me a while to calm her and my four-year-old down. Pictures on my wall aren't straight anymore. A few things fell off the fridge.
See, and it must be the kind of thing where it's really hardcore near it, but it dissipated quickly because I didn't feel a thing.
Yeah, I thought the first was worse than the second. Then these are... You know, a couple of the
3.7 and 3.2. That's accurate ones. A little bit on the Richter scale. If you're, you know, that sensitive to it all, I guess so, you know.
Yeah, Joshua Corey said, first one woke me up. I dozed off after my alarm had just gone off. I thought I had just twitched, but couldn't get the thought of it possibly being an earthquake out of my mind. Then I was getting ready for the day when the second one hit. Didn't feel shaking since I was in the basement, but I heard the rumble. My wife came down to see if I just felt what she had. A few things fell over, but not too bad. But it's a good reminder to make sure that our family knows what to do in the event of an emergency. And
well,
we're
and
away
it's
from
also
home.
A reminder that maybe we ought to turn to God, huh? The good sheriff with us.
Amen.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the power of love can conquer all if it's Christ-like love. I'm telling you right now, people are panicking. They're melting down. 3.7 and 3.2 on the Richter scale or magnitude earthquakes hit 2 miles from Bluffdale, Utah, about 17 miles from my house, 5:09 a.m. I just chilled in my slumber. I had no idea. Other people are just freaking out, and they woke up. And, you know, I don't know, maybe it just shook them a lot harder than it shook me. But I'm telling you right now, it ought to shake us up in remembrance of our God, Sheriff.
Well, yeah, I think we better get back to those basic fundamental principles, and we just keep going away and away and away. And I really do admire a lot of the Christian people in America, though, who stick together and stick close to those principles and. You know, they don't pointing fingers and saying, "Oh, well, I'm not Catholic, so I'm not going to work with them, and I'm not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, so I'm not going to stick with them, and we're evangelicals, and they're not Christians." And I really admire the ones who embrace the Christian ethic and invite everybody in to stand for freedom and to stand against abortion and to stand for what's right. And because both Washington, well, just about half of the Founding Fathers made some reference to if America doesn't stay good, then it will lose what it was blessed with. And, of course, Adams and Washington said that our Constitution was only meant for a moral and religious people. And so, really, I think that's the reason why America's government is not working anymore, because politicians are evil, and they don't know how to handle an evil approach to all of this. And you alluded to another problem, and that is the spending bill is 1,100 pages. First of all, how do you even get enough people to put something like that together? There is no way.
Hey, buddy, your tax dollars go a long way in hiring minions behind the scenes, my friend. Don't you underestimate them, sir.
What do you do? Hire 100 people to put, okay, you each do 10 pages? you know, and then who could possibly know what is in it and what the other guys wrote? And I want to know if there's even one person that has read it.
Because no, sir, it's not possible.
It isn't possible not to really understand it. And even if you're a speed reader, you're going to miss some details.
Well, and that's why I say President Trump needs to declare a national emergency and say, look, the national security issues, the border wall being part of those issues is one critical issue. But more importantly, internally, look, this Congress, Nancy Pelosi, shame on you. This Congress expects us to sign something we have never read, agree to something that we don't know what we're agreeing to, spend $1 trillion when we're already $22 trillion in debt, and they're trying to do it under the threat of a government shutdown. This is a national emergency. Congress, shame on you. And Donald could stand up right now and literally force them to back off. If he has the guts, this is the time to stand and force this issue and say, look, we're not signing something that we haven't read. We're not doing it. And I'm going to say this. I, as president, am going to stop 435 members in the House and 100 members in the Senate. He already lost that because they already signed it, or they already voted for it, by the way. But what I'm saying is he could say, I'm going to stop them from doing irreparable damage to themselves and to the country. We will not sign something we haven't read. Shame on you. When you're 18 years old, you're taught as a little kid by your daddy, at least you should be, do not sign something you haven't read. Just don't do that. Okay, that's like fundamental 101 business or grown-up adult behavior. I will not sign it if I don't know what it says. I just won't do it. Okay,
right.
And Donald could literally say, shame on you, congressmen and senators, for doing it. Y'all ought to be impeached for your abuse. You cannot represent the people when you've signed something you have not read. How is that representing me? If a lawyer did that, he'd literally be kicked off out of the Bar Association. And Donald could stand on this big time, but I bet he won't.
No, but you see, Sam, you touched on it just a little bit then. We used to assail, and I mean just absolutely lambish, Nancy Pelosi because of her ridiculous and stupid comment about Obamacare, because it was 2,700 pages, and how she said, well, we're just going to pass it and then find out what's in it as we go along. Because you already alluded to the dangers that poses for the American people. I mean,
it's a national security threat to sign something you haven't read.
Of course it is. And not only that, you could literally, Nancy literally saying, because there were automatic fines for people who did not have insurance, and you had to prove it to the IRS every year on your tax return. If you didn't have it, you were automatically fined with no recourse. What if it said automatically jailed? Are you going to really wait to see how many people go to prison? And then, oh, well, we better repeal this. I guess it wasn't something we should have done. You know, what is this like? The 18th Amendment, when they passed Prohibition, and then it took us 10 years to figure out that was wrong and absolutely immoral and counterproductive, and it made the problem worse. And so these same bills that are 1,100 pages long 2,700 pages long. They could say anything. They can do anything. And we're not going to find out what's in it until it's enforced and thrown in our faces.
I don't really know how to respond to this. I really don't. Because I just cannot imagine. I mean, the Republicans were so critical of that being done before, and they do it again. I mean, they all have signed off on this. And as far as I understand, how do we even find out who voted how? Right?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, my congressman, I don't know if he signed it, but he was on the radio out here saying he was against it and that he was advising President Trump to not sign it. That was Andy Biggs. And he's usually pretty decent. He doesn't pay any attention to the innocents in prison and doesn't care about that. But he's usually pretty good on constitutional issues. And I think he has hit the right chord on this one. But it really does flabbergast me, Sam, that our politicians in Washington, D.C. will sign laws they have never read. And this one, even if you have what I do know about it, I'm still against it. And President Trump should simply say, no, this doesn't work, and I'm going to do this on my own. He says he's going to go out on his own anyway, so why sign this bill? The $1.3 billion that he got on this isn't going to do the wall much good. So if he's declaring the national emergency, which I'm surprised that the Democrats signed it when they found out he was going to do that. I thought he played his hand way too soon on that. But anyway, he announced that he's going to, and they still signed it and still put it through. I mean, they still voted for it, put it through, because there's only one way the Democrats would do that, and that is if it's going to make Trump look bad or if it's going to provide some problem.
All right.
For him.
Here's what I got going on here. I got an at sign, R-E-A-L-D-O-N-A-L-D-T-R-U-M-P. Right? I got an at sign, Donald Trump Jr., an at sign, Eric Trump, and then my headline says, U.S. Senate and House approve spending bill they have not even read, creating a national emergency. Donald needs this reality check here because he needs talking points here. And I just tweeted that dude out right now. All I'm telling you is this is critical. Look, you cannot sign a bill you have not read with $1 trillion in spending, knowing full well that national security is at stake and the Democrats hate Donald, the Republicans hate Donald, and they want to undermine him at every turn. In fact, Donald has an interesting statement that he just made about this. He's aware to some degree of the threat because here's what he said. He basically said, watching for landmines. In the compromise, right? Trump, quote, watching for landmines in funding compromise. So he knows to some degree. But I'm telling you, I say it's a national security crisis when you have 535 people approve a bill that's $1 trillion in spending that no doubt national security is a big piece of, when we don't know what it says or what it proposes to fund or deny funding or what it proposes to do to the presidential proper authority or power in the three branches of government. We have no idea what we're talking about or agreeing to. Zero. It's 1,100 pages. And there's been a couple of people that have tried to comb through pieces of it and have some concerns right now. But we have no idea what we're even discussing, Sheriff. And no one can tell me we do. Nobody. No,
and that's the absurdity of it, is that we simply are talking about something that we are totally left in the dark about. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to take the next several weeks and read the thing. I'm not going to. It should be 50 pages long.
Well, and the most important piece is this. They literally wasted 3 weeks and they give it to him with zero time. In other words, that alone is a national security concern. Liberty Roundtable live. Continue. Jesse Smollett's in the news. Let's talk about that dude, okay?
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Yeah. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news is at this hour, President Trump's signing a funding bill that will keep the government from shutting down at midnight tonight. Also signing a declaration of a national emergency along the border with Mexico. That will allow him, he says, to divert $8 billion that was budgeted for the U.S. Defense Department to use to build a border wall. Democrats have been warning him against taking this action.
Make no mistake, Congress will defend our constitutional authorities in every way that we can.
That's the top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer. Some Republicans in Congress are also cool to the president's idea of the emergency declaration. More breaking news is former Massachusetts Governor William Weld is the first Republican to challenge President Trump for the GOP nomination in 2020, making the announcement in New Hampshire a short time ago. And this is USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
In San Jose, California, one suspect is dead, another's in custody, after police tried to pull them over last night for driving a stolen vehicle.
He stumbles upon a UPS truck, at which point he carjacks the UPS truck with the driver inside.
That police spokesman says the male suspect ended up shot and killed by police after an hours-long standoff. A woman who was with him has been taken into custody. The UPS driver wasn't injured. Stolen information from a massive data breach last year is now for sale on the dark web. The MyFitnessPal app disclosed the data breach last March, affecting about 150 million users, and now some of that information is being sold by hackers on the dark web in what's being called a Valentine's Day fire sale. Those hackers are also offering information hacked from at least 15 other websites. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm buried in email. Kurt Crosby just sent me over the break about 20 emails. I'm grabbing them and getting them now. They're everywhere. I mean, it's like, whoa. Man, news everywhere. News galore, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt's like QAnon on steroids. All right. Hate crime attack on Empire actor Jesse Smollett. I told you that it was bogus from the beginning. The mainstream press went for it hook, line, and sinker, baby. They ran with this hate crime. Somebody's attacking a black guy. They must be absolute racists. We're in MAGA country. They lied and said, hey, make America great again. Belligerents with hoods on were just, you know, beating this guy up. They put a rope around his neck. I mean, it was crazy. Racist, homophobic, everything was in the story. And the mainstream press loved it. Bottom line is it's turning out to be a hoax. The cops are freaking out. Looks like a hate crime attack on Empire actor Jesse Smollett was staged. Reports are now suggesting RT.com with the details. Breaking, police raided the home of two persons of interest in the Jesse Smollett fiasco last night. And they say both men are of Nigerian descent and appeared as extras on Jesse's show. And police took bleach. Interesting. Shoes, electronics, and more. And police want Smollett to resubmit his phone records. They say the redacted records that he provided of his own call log, well, they're limited and redacted, and they're so redacted they're insufficient to truly do an investigation. And what I find fascinating about this whole discussion is, why would the cops use his call logs? why not go ahead and subpoena the records for the phone company? Very, very, very strange stuff. But the bottom line is, it's turning out to be an absolute sham, just like I told you, Sheriff.
Well, yeah, and there's too many of those going on, Sam. I wish you could be wrong a little bit every now and again.
Amen. I just break down the news and call it as I see it, sir.
Well, we do, and, you know, it almost sounds like if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen thing. You know, if you can't stand the truth, then don't listen to the show. But I believe a lot of people need to wake up to what's really going on in America, in Washington, D.C. And this is, again, it's just a reflection and a highlight of the total corruption in Washington, D.C. You know, I'm against the government shutdowns big time because we don't shut down the people that cause the problem. We shut down
our neighbors and the good guys and the normal services that we're all used to, and it's just designed to harass our people is what we're talking about.
Right, it is. And in the Declaration of Independence, one of the 27 abuses listed by our founding fathers as to why they fought a war to get away from Great Britain and all the abuses there, we do about half of them today. The same abuses, we do half of them today, and the American people just kind of sit back numb and dumb and say, oh, well, yeah. One of them is they form swarms of officers to eat out our substance. And, man, there you go, IRS, EPA, FDA, DEA, FBI, you know, it just keeps going on and on and on. And then mock trials and people with red coats and federal agents that commit horrible crimes don't even get brought to trial. But then people like Sam Gerard are in prison for 6 years for making a salve out of chickweed.
Yes, and our buddy Steve Stockman, who's trying to stop the IRS from abusing conservatives, hey, he's in jail too.
Exactly.
So there you have it. But hey, anyway, we'll keep an eye on this Jussie Smollett crime attack. I'm telling you, it's bogus. They lied. I guess they say that he was going to be Empire actor. They were going to not use him or something like that. Or anyway, there's some internal stuff kind of there that kind of preceded all this or whatever. And anyway, we'll keep an eye on that ball. By the way, people are now asking, why was there a fence at this Beto O'Rourke's We Are Against Walls event? Turned out the former Democratic Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke, or Beto O'Rourke, whatever you call the guy, I guess he held an anti-wall counter rally to President Trump's, you know, speech on the border in El Paso. And in an ironic twist, they say he himself was protected by both a wall and a fence at the time. Now, video taken at the rally and shared on Twitter showed O'Rourke talking to the people from the other side of the fence, which partially surrounded the baseball field where he was speaking and kept overflow crowds from entering the stage area. Now, don't worry, O'Rourke's staff didn't build the wall or the fence, or they weren't responsible for creating it, but they just used what was in place at the time to protect him. Now, believe it or not, that I guess in El Paso, there's already a border wall in parts of it protecting there. But the big question is, why on earth is there a fence and a wall being used by this guy while he speaks and preaches against fences and walls? Sheriff?
Well, they've brought a lot of those hypocrisies out during the last couple of weeks. And, of course, Pelosi's ridiculous comments about walls being immoral and they don't work. And, you know, she lives in a home with fenced in and wall has a huge wall. And I travel 45 miles every day to work. And I look at all the homes and communities and HOAs and gated communities along the way, and there's probably 30 or 40 of them. Every one of them have walls. We have a fence around our school, and I look around all the other schools. Every one of them have fences around them. And I thought, well, man, are all these schools immoral and all the fences, they don't...
What about all the backyards that are fenced in your neighborhood, buddy?
Mine is. You know, I'm looking right out my backyard right now.
That's just because you're evil.
Yeah, I mean, they're evil, and they don't do any good. And I wish all these fencing and wall companies would just go out of business because they're promoting an evil and immoral and...
Amen. I had a fence around my radio tower, and the fence fell down in a storm or somebody vandalized it, don't know, and the government got mad at me because the fence was down. I don't know what's up with all that. But anyway, Kurt, it's getting crazy. out there. And so there's a fence at the anti-fence event, kind of an interesting, ironic twist. We just thought we'd highlight that for you. Now, Mr. Cruz is speaking out on El Chapo. This relates directly to what we're talking about today. Donald Trump not listening to me on Twitter. He's all signing the behemoth omnibus spending bill of over $1 trillion. He doesn't even know what's in it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, I don't know if these people are adults or not, but they sure shouldn't represent me if they're doing that kind of stuff. I never gave permission to sign things you don't even know what's in on my behalf. That never happened, ladies and gentlemen, and don't suggest to the contrary. What do you say, though? Cruz is at least speaking out, Kurt.
Yeah, it's a good point, Sam. You know, I guess he was on the Ted Cruz, on the Fox News Channel.
He ought to be on the Roundtable Live, but anyway, at least we'd be kind to him, huh?
The one computer where I was reading it just turned off, you know.
Yeah, you got to upgrade that machine from time to time, Kurt.
But anyway, he was on the Fox News Channel just saying, hey, man, El Chapo was just found guilty. He's a guy that basically benefited from this see-through border we got, this, porous border, and he needs to be the guy that pays to basically stop all the drugs and things that he, sold.
Yeah, he says it's only right that his ill-gotten gains should solve the problem. I agree. Anyway, thought would bring that to your attention. Also, drugs are in the news. Kurt?
Well, that's right, Sam. And I guess they found a whole bunch of fentanyl, enough to kill, 4 million people, right on the border. And, if that's not a national security issue, I don't know exactly what it is, Sam. Seems like.
Well, it only is, Kurt, if you're honest. Okay? If you're dishonest, there's nothing to that, buddy. You're just crazy. You're just trying to stir up trouble.
I guess it's, like Sheriff Max said so many times, we have these drug wars, and all it means is we get more drugs, instead of fixing the problem. Right, Sheriff?
Yeah, and even more so, the more I study prohibition, we've actually been studying prohibition in class this past week, and the more we study about it, I just want to ask the American people, why can't we learn from history? Prohibition does not work. It creates huge cartels. It creates huge black markets. It creates violence. It creates a more prolific drug or whatever you're trying to stop. I don't care if you're trying to prohibit desert sand. If you make it against the law, you are creating a black market and you are creating a business that will perpetuate that substance or item, and there's very little you can do about it after you do that. Prohibition, as Abraham Lincoln said, strikes a blow at the very foundation of our country because it tries to legislate appetites and probably even worse, addictions. And if we haven't learned in this country yet that we are not going to arrest away or imprison away the drug problem that we are facing, then we are brain dead.
And the point is that forcing people to be moral or to do what you want them to do is kind of like Satan's plan. I'll just be clear.
It is, totally.
Now, I agree that we ought to have all kinds of public servants against public service announcements against alcohol, and I believe alcohol is an evil. I don't drink it, and I don't think anybody else should. Nevertheless, do we believe in choice? The pro-death people do when it comes to murdering babies. That's the only time they do. I do the rest of the time.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified? Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Back with you live, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, and the good sheriff at the round table. So you heard about the big fentanyl bust on the California border, right?
Yeah,
enough fentanyl to kill 4 million Americans seized at the border in California. Well, now I guess there's 2.2 million of meth seized at the Texas border point of entry, Texas feds say. Or I'm sorry, feds say in Texas. What do you say to that, sheriff? The war on drugs is a failure, sir.
Well, yeah, I've been saying that for years. It is kind of amazing the metamorphosis that my view on the drug war has taken, because I used to be a drug warrior and
Let me just be clear, though. It's because we thought that we were really stopping the drug abuse and the drug trafficking and all that goes with it, which means sex trafficking and drugs, right, and money and laundering and all these blights that are committed on society. We at first, and we still are, against those things. We now realize, though, that, hey, government is not able to and or our friend on this issue.
No, and the CIA has been accused of being one of the biggest traffickers in drugs and illicit drugs for the last, 30-40 years. It's never been investigated. There's been several movies that have portrayed it in true Hollywood stories. You know, they've portrayed it. The most recent we've talked about before was Barry Seal being used as a pilot to run drugs and guns down to cartels in Latin America and to the Contras in Central America. And boy, they just portray the truth and put it right out there in front of you. Barry Seal was murdered because he got exposed indiscreetly by Washington, D.C. officials. And this just keeps going on and on and on. And then the next day, they'll get mad at Trump for not trusting the intel organizations of this country. Why would we trust any of them? I mean, they have sex parties provided by the cartels. That's been going on for years and years. Nobody does anything about it. Barack Obama doesn't get investigated for running guns down to Mexico cartels. And when he gets pressed about it, he takes out and claims executive privilege. Executive privilege. Why doesn't Trump use executive privilege about the Russia scandal?
Well, let me tell you why.
Under investigation.
Because the Democrats have got him in fear of doing that. Kurt Pelosi warns.
Well, I don't think any president should declare executive privilege on something like that. But,
well, of course.
Certainly, if it's good for Obama, why not? Why isn't it good for Trump?
Well, and that's the question. But he's not declaring executive privilege or anything like that.
No,
we're talking about an emergency, and Pelosi's warning against doing this, Kurt.
Great point, Sam. Yeah, the headline from Breitbart: Pelosi warns GOP : Dem POTUS, that means President of the United States, could declare emergency for, what do you think? For gun control, she says.
So if Donald declares a national emergency on the border, and because they have a bill that they haven't even read, then they're saying, hey, wait till the Democrat president gets control. He'll just declare emergency and declare gun control there. Sheriff, what do you say to that?
Well, I've actually worried about the Democrats playing that card. And I've already told you on this program, we're 2 to 5 years, maybe closer even, from the socialist Democrats taking completely control of this country.
I'm telling you, they're taking off the gloves, and they're going to end up declaring a civil war if we're not very, very careful. I pray it doesn't happen, but I'm telling you, it will. The second the president literally declares the national emergency and gun control, all bets are off. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, I know. And look at the next president. The probable Democrat will be more than willing to do that.
I love my wife. I'm just saying right now, if I could hold White House dinners with some of the wives, it'd be phenomenal. I'm just saying, I'm looking so forward to 2020. You know, they say it's hindsight, but I got my sights on 2020.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark Meadows is in the news too, though, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. And the headline from Breitbart, Mark Meadows, colon. And if you don't know who he is, ladies and gentlemen, he's a big shot with what's called the Freedom the Freedom Caucus in Congress. And he says, I fully support Trump's national emergency to build the wall.
I agree that we need a national emergency to declare for national security for sure, and a wall, and portions of the wall ought to be part of that. There's no doubt about it. Anyway, it's interesting how Nancy Pelosi's already promoting gun control kind of in the presidency, even though she's not even there. And we allow that narrative where Donald needs to respond to that and quit signing a $1 trillion spending behemoth. Donald needs to fire back to Pelosi and say, you know what? Our law is about the proper role of guns in our society. Gun control would be criminal act. If the president were to declare that against the supreme law of our land, he has no authority. And there's a big difference between securing our border and taking away guns from the American people. And Donald needs to fire back on this, clearly. But, of course, he remains silent, and Nancy Pelosi basically controls the narrative. Now, by the way, Kurt has a QAnon update from USA Today. QAnon, quote, the conspiracy theory explained after Q posters spotted at Trump's Florida rally, right?
Right, and I just wanted to see if you could kind of summarize, you know, what you feel like. I just hadn't seen this before, and you know, wasn't aware of it. And USA Today had this.
You're not watching the news, buddy.
It was a little. I know. I just not paying attention. But I.
My point isn't that Kurt's not watching. By the way, Kurt watches the news like a hawk. The point is, there's so much news, none of us can watch it all. Right? I mean, I'm not criticizing you. None of us can watch it. So what do you want, an explanation of QAnon?
Yeah, just, you know, FAQ. You
know, all right, let's just do it like this. It's a secret group.
FAQ wouldn't work for QAnon, though. Huh?
It's a secret group. We don't know who they are, that supposedly has inside government intel and leaks it about what's supposed to happen behind the scenes. And we don't know who it is. Their reports are released in code, kind of hinting that it might be military-esque. And then the people are supposed to watch it and get intel about what's happening. It's almost like WikiLeaks behind the scenes with an unknown party peddling the information, supposedly inside government intel. Now, I don't believe or trust QAnon completely, okay? Because whenever you don't know the source of something, you need to be very, very wary, right? However, I'll say very clearly that certain things that I believe the haters of America or the swamp wanted to do when QAnon released something, it's enabled Donald Trump to get the upper hand. So there is some inside reality to this. It's not always right, but it's right some of the time. So I say take QAnon with a grain of salt. Keep an eye on it because it's interesting to watch, but don't put your faith in it and trust it completely. I don't know that I believe it's a conspiracy theory group necessarily, like USA Today says. But I do know this, they have intel. Some of it's come true. Some of it's helped the president. Some of it's changed the narrative behind the scenes. But a lot of it hasn't come true yet. And some people are discrediting the organization now, saying that means that they're bogus. I don't know what it means. All I know is I'm going to keep an eye on the ball. I'm going to keep an eye on what they're doing. And I'm telling you that when we predict timing for things, 9 times out of 10, we end up wrong. So be careful there. But a lot of the intel has a lot of truth to it. Whether it'll amount to much, time will tell. For example, we learned that Hillary is a criminal. Even for the president of the United States, the sitting president says she's a criminal. That doesn't mean that she's going to jail. So what it all means and how it all flows out, I don't know. But I'm not going to embrace QAnon, and I'm not going to dismiss QAnon. I'm going to keep an eye on the ball, and I'm going to warn you, when it's an unknown source, not to trust it completely. But we got to trust, but verify, and keep an eye on that ball for sure. All right, so that's QAnon, and USA Today wants to just discredit the whole organization. I disagree with that, but I don't embrace them like some do. Alex Jones and Jerome Corsi and others have embraced QAnon. I'm not going that far. I'm telling you, I don't know who they are. I'm telling you, they got interesting information, and I'm telling you, I'm keeping an eye on it. And I'm telling you, some of it, people claim it being debunked, but some of it has actually made a difference behind the scenes. And so I'm taking it with a grain of salt. I'm watching with a wary eye, but I'm not dismissing it like many are. Last story of the hour. I got to get to these, man. Kurt's giving me hundreds of stories. I'm telling you right now, for every story I cover, Kurt gives us five. So we got to rock and roll with them, or we'll never keep up. Kurt, you want to talk about El Chapo jurors?
Well, you know, I just thought this was interesting. Somebody came up with the idea that said that the jurors for the El Chapo trial might want to keep themselves, secret to the press. In other words, so people don't know who they are. What? Did they have, like, hoods on themselves in the jury room? Yeah, I mean, what? Do you think the El Chapo guy hasn't told his buddies exactly who these people are? And just by some weird chance, they're going to meet with some tough times in the future? You know, I mean, El Chapo's not a law-abiding citizen, and it certainly is not like he wouldn't kill somebody.
Yeah, and the idea is that you can create anonymity to one of the biggest drug kingpins in the world. Good luck with that, folks. I don't believe it for a second.
Yeah, and you mentioned it before, the whole thing about the where Sheriff Mack's talking about, how silly it is, the whole drug war, when so many times, our own officials get bribed. I mean, we've talked about the story of the Mexican president getting $100 million from El Chapo. I mean, who's above being bribed by that? And therefore, then you say, well, is the drug war really, should it be done this way, or should we just make it where we don't have prohibition and make it so that it's not just the criminals and those guys who have access?
Well, I just want the government to get out of the ill-gotten gains they get from it. That would be a start. Anyway, all I'm telling you, the other interesting thing about this is, Kurt, I always talk about the ironic for fun, and I want to highlight this. Who reported this story, Kurt? Talking about this jurors and this drug kingpin that's violating our border and all that kind of stuff, right? Who reported the story?
I think it was in my post, if I remember right.
You don't remember who it is? You're supposed to have that in front of you, Kurt. Come on now.
Well, I know I would if my other computer was working.
Yeah, all right. So this lady's name, this is fascinating. I know it sounds weird. Her name is Gabriela Borter. Now, I know it's not spelled the same, okay?
Pretty close to border.
B-O-R-T-E-R. Borter is her last name. But Gabriela Borter reports on drug kingpin at the border, and it's just weird.
Yeah, good point.
It's like if I'm a guy and I'm against drugs and I'm reporting on drugs, my last name is Dragula or something. It's like, what? Okay, this is the kind of stuff that I see all the time in the news. And I'm telling you, it doesn't just happen once in a while. It makes me wonder how many of these stories are floated with that kind of stuff in there to mock us. I just don't know. I'm just saying it's ironic and weird, to say the least. Bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, we got to promote God, family, and country. We got to protect life, liberty, and property. We got to have morality in the people, and that's our only salvation, Sheriff.
Yeah, it really is, Sam. And we can certainly talk about these horrible things going on in the world, but we really need to talk about solutions as well. And we need to know what's going on. And it's so hard, as you alluded to cipher between all the things going on out there, QAnon and everything. You don't. Who do you know to trust today, man? That's the
Liberty Roundtable Live. We point our way directly to God,
trust,
sir.
This one, yes.
There's no talk show like it, I'll tell you that right now. Because some are too hard-hitting, which means they're too wrapped up in trusting conspiracies and whatever and think they have all the answers. We don't have all the answers. We don't have an inside track to anybody, folks. That's why we're so careful. But we know where the God of Israel is. We know where our God is. We know where the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is, and we turn to him for guidance and protection, forgiveness and repentance and more. And we know the best organizational plan for proper role of limited government is the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, and that's where we point to as well. Last but not least, the family, the fundamentally new society, the God-ordained family, the traditional family is the answer. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, will save America. We declare this nation shall endure. God save